Today. Let's open our Bibles to Joshua 1:1. Joshua 1:1. Well, that was a fun way to do things this morning. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Tell me when you get there. Joshua. Yeshua. Joshua was a great person. He is a great person. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. After the death of Moses, after the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord said to Moses' assistant Joshua, son of Nun, "My servant Moses is dead. Now you and all these people must cross the Jordan River in the land that I'm going to give the people of Israel. I will give you every place on which you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your borders will be the desert on the south, nearby Lebanon to the Euphrates River, the country of the Hittites on the north, and the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to oppose you successfully." That's good. "As long as you live, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will never neglect you or abandon you. Amen. Be strong and courageous, because you will help these people take possession of the land I swore to give their ancestors. Only be strong and very courageous. Faithfully do everything that in the teachings that my servant Moses commanded you. Don't turn away from them. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed." Now, the King James says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And then you'll be prosperous and have good success." Right?
Amen.
Amen. So we know that the book of the law for us is the word of God. Okay, particularly for us, the New Testament. Those are where we see what we're supposed to do as being doers of the Word of God. Today, I want to unpack a success package for you. I want to tell you how to have success. Because success is victory, it's achievement, it's winning, it's living as an overcomer instead of a survivor. A lot of people are just surviving. And I think the song would have been better. Oh, somebody knew it right there. Not "I'm a survivor." Yeah. Amen. "I'm a thriver." Yeah. Amen. But Reba, you know, she was trying to make a point. Glory to God. Anyway, so we are thrivers. We are victorious and we overcome the world. Now, what that means to us, church, when you go and look over in the Johns, in the first Johns, you see that we are to have victory over the world system. You're to have victory over the world system. You are an overcomer. You overcome that world system because you are from another system. You are from the kingdom of God. And so you're a citizen of the United States of America, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so you work in a supernatural realm. And the kingdom word here that we're looking at, it tells us how the kingdom works. It tells us the will of God. And the kingdom word tells you the story of success. Amen. So I want to tell you about some spiritual and some practical things that will bring success to your life. Here are three things that come before success. This is going to be a teaching today. We can do whatever the Lord calls us to do. Amen. So here's the three things that come before success. Number one, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Now that Greek word for understanding is actually understanding. You need to get it. You need to understand. But if you look in the Noah Webster, you will see it means to know the meaning. To know the meaning. You get what's going on. Roxanne says you get it. I think that's a good way to say, I get it. I see what's being said. I get it. So we need to get some understanding. You can't, now I'm not going to take a lot of time because we've talked about this for about 3 weeks now, I think, about the fact that you need to learn how to study the word. You need to know what the original says. You need to understand the terrain, what's going on when that was being written. You need to know who the Bible's talking to, the Jews, the church, the nations. You need to understand these things, and you need to have an understanding of the love of God. Here's an understanding for you. People says faith worketh by love, and they jump off on, well, I better love people or my faith won't work. Nothing wrong with that, but there is something deeper there. If you begin to understand the love of God, your faith will work. Because he's a hesed God. He has obligatory love. And so when you get that picture and you go, man, he loves me, he'll show up. Amen. That's a different feeling, isn't it? Than just, I better straighten up. So I can earn. No, that doesn't work here. You're a receiver. Amen. You're a receiver. That's how you do kingdom business. You become a receiver, so you have to build capacity. To do that, you have to have understanding. Number two is commitment. Commitment comes before success. Commitment is a pledge to do something. We have to be committed. We have to be what we'd say hot for God. You remember the church of Laodicea? Jesus said they were lukewarm. He said they were lukewarm, and what did he say he would do? Spew them out of his mouth. See, lukewarm people are indifferent people. Indifference means showing or having no interest. They don't have any value for the things of God. I'll sleep in instead of going to church. They don't have any value for that. I'm not going to make it a priority. Amen. But word, preached word, you being there to hear the preached words, great on TV, great on YouTube, but there's nothing like being there. Amen. And some people just don't get that, but it is the truth. And so it requires some commitment. Indifferent people, they never put themselves in any inconveniences. Nothing that would strain them. They don't step out there in any form or fashion. Indifferent people, never put themselves in a situation where they would have to trust God. I'll try that over here. Indifferent people never put themselves in any situation where they would have to trust God. Gay Gailey, she said, she told me a long time ago, she's in heaven now, of course, you know, Bill's sitting right there. Gay said, you know what I love about you? You'll try anything. Amen. You'll just try anything. Amen. And you know, that's how we have to be. We have to put ourselves in a position where we have to trust God. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He has to be my source. He has to be the one who will tell me what to do. And I sure need help with that. Amen. Amen. So people who are hot will sacrifice, but lukewarm people are content with the way things are. Well, it's good enough. This is good enough. Yeah. We'll just cruise along as long as we get to do something fun every weekend.
All right.
Boing. As long as I get to do something fun every weekend, I'll just do my job, pass the time. But that's not what the Bible calls for. The Bible calls for us to get out there and try some things, do some things, push back darkness, right. Speak to some people, do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray, as Danny was talking about. There's some things that you could pray that would shake hell. Amen. So God would rather you be cold than just neutral. See, indifference is the thief of God's best. And then the third thing is identify with life. To identify with death, doubt, fear, sin, sickness, weakness, pain is to identify with Adam. But you're no longer in Adam's family. You're in Jesus' family. You're in Jesus' family. Identify with life. And identification is built around the cross. Amen. The place of exchange. Here's what it is. Jesus went to hell, so you don't have to. Amen. That's the place of exchange. Jesus went to hell. He identified with Adam. And now you don't. You identify with Jesus. You're a new creature. Amen. You have to make sure that you identify with life if you're going to have any success. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people just bless their darling hearts, as Brother Hagin would say. They just seem like they want to stick around with misery. Don't they? Have you known people like that? Well, no. Well, I hope it could. No, it probably won't. Nothing ever works out for me. Wham, 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 wham. You know, if you just stick around here for a little while, you probably get happy.
Yeah.
If you just come and show up after a while, you probably get happy. You probably learn some things, get some understanding. Amen. Amen. If you hung around with the body of Christ, things would change. And if they don't, we'll refund your misery. But praise the Lord. So stay on the life side. Cast down those imaginations. See, this is the thing people don't want to do. They're going to get in the shower and think of every negative thing they could. But you could get in the shower and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm not going to forget your benefits. Glory to God. No, Satan, I'm not thinking that. I will not. Jesus told me not to take a thought by saying, God will provide for me. God will do this for me. God will push me ahead. I will win. I am healed. You could say that. Or what about, you know, when somebody's a stinker to you, stabs you in the back, you can stay in there and every minute, I should have said, I wish I would have, how could they have done that to me? How could they have made my life miserable? Well, they're making your life miserable right now. So forget about them and go on, drop them off and put good thought. Cast down your those imaginations. Amen. So, these are the things. Get understanding, be committed, and stay on the life side. These are good things that we need to do. Get some understanding. Keep going. We all keep going. Amen. All the time. We all continue to get understanding. We are committed. The thing about the Word of God is it will actually cause you to be committed. It'll actually put some honor in you. It'll put some integrity in you. Amen. All of a sudden you'll notice, I don't think the same about that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then staying on the life side, it'll bring you success. Now, let me give you some practical yet spiritual things that you can do. I'm going to give you some little ones and then I'll give you a great big one. Okay. So, the number one thing that you're going to really need to do is, besides the big one, is relationships. Relationships are important. If you're going to be effective in the kingdom, live in peace, you're going to have to do something about your relationships. Okay? So this doesn't mean you become self-righteous and condescending. We've all had enough of that. You know, you're not going to build a sign and take it down the street and say, turn or burn at the bars or anything. That's out. Y'all laugh, but I lived through that. I was on the bar side. And it didn't help me want to go to church. Did it help you? It didn't. The Bible says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Amen. Turn or burn. Well, that's not what we're called to do, but we are called to deal with our relationships and not in a self-righteous way because we love all people. But it does mean that you make quality choices about how you're going to place your relationships in your life. You have circles. You have a close circle. You have the next circle. You have the next circle. You know, we've been taught this many times. We understand that. So we make quality choices about them. Listen, we were praying about anointings this morning. There are three ways anointings come. And one of them is association. Did y'all get that? One of the ways anointings come is by association. I remember Brother Hagin used to, he had a man that had, ulcers. And that man, as long as that man was with him and followed him around, remember that? He'd be healed. He stayed healed. Mm-hmm. But when the man would get away from him, he'd get sick again. Yeah. He was under that anointing. He didn't have enough faith to do it on his own yet. But by association, you could actually prosper. You can actually be healed. You can actually live better living next to people who have a good influence, a good anointing. Number two is environment, and number three is influence. That's the way anointings come. It's going to come by your association, by your environment. What kind of environment do you live in? And by influence. So the number one way is association. Who? It's a who. The number two way is environment. Where? The number three way is influence. What? Or inspiration or impact or guidance are you getting? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we've spent years with incarcerated people. Ron's led the ministry for years, and we've been down the road, and some of them have dropped by here, stayed for a little while. Some of them stayed, and they're totally different citizens now. Amen. Amen. They got the message, were smart enough to do that, and moved up in life. Amen. We're glad for that. But the number one thing to be aware of for them, and we've had to teach this to them all the time, are toxic relationships. Because you could get clean, you can get out, and then you go back, and who drives up to the front porch? Come on, you know this. Those old friends. Yeah, well, no, I'm serving God now. Well, just come on out with us. Don't try to act like you're better than us. Who do you think you are? Are you better than us? No, but I don't want to do those things anymore. Well, just come on out with us, because if you're a Christian, you love me, right? See? Uh-huh. It's interesting. Those toxic relationships can really affect you. And so many of those people go right back into what they had because of toxic relationships. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's the number one thing you want to watch out for. And that holds true for us. People sacrifice their whole life so that they can feel accepted by their buddies. It's like high school. High school is really interesting. These people that will only be around for 4 years and then you're never going to see them again should not have the privilege of determining your future. Yet that influence is so strong. This is something that we have to be very mindful of. It's a high price to pay to be part of the gang. I know about that. I paid a high price to be a part of the gang in my younger life. Now, those people hold a place in your life because you're their light. But they cannot be yours. So you need to learn how to draw those circles. Amen. Now listen here, older folks. It's real easy to say amen right there. But watch out for cuddling up to my sickness, my operation, my symptoms gang. Let's get together for lunch. We'll talk about all our operations. Well, when I had my out, that's not the right gang either, is it?
That's right.
Just swirling around. And some of you folks that are over, 55, 60, you might want to watch out for those senior jokes. Because they're not funny. Well, I had a senior moment. Well, what's that? It ought to be some wisdom. Amen. So we don't want to cuddle up to that old stuff. We don't want to live in that neighborhood. Here's the answer. Just hang around somebody bigger than you. Somebody spiritually bigger than you. And I know that there's someone probably here right now that thinks they're the biggest. I have news for you. If you think you're the biggest, you're the smallest. Everybody needs to look to somebody. Amen. Ask God to lead you to a mentor. If it's about your work, there may be someone where you work that can help you with that. They know how to do what you do better. If you're an entrepreneur, look at the entrepreneurs that do things and find out how they did it. How did the wealthy get wealthy? Look at that. How did the ministers get to where they're going? You see. How did someone get successful in their life in God? Look to those kind of people. I've seen this happen all the time. Someone will attach themselves to someone who's successful in this church, and they'll start moving forward. It's a smart move, and they'll start doing well. And you know, there are those out there who don't appreciate your value system or your kingdom views. So after a while, sometimes those people, they just fall off. And then we see them out in the world, and the first thing they say is, man, could you pray for me? It's all crashed. Well, that's kind of not rocket science. It's all about the word. It's all about being a part of the body of Christ. It's all about commitment and sticking with it and not running off. And I'll just throw this out here too to you. And church hopping doesn't work very well either. Amen. You know, in your life, you're going to have about two very intimate friends. One of them possibly is your spouse. You may have your spouse and two other intimate friends. And that's good. That's good that you would have that many. And then you're going to have about five close friends. People who are close to you. And that's good. And then you're going to have some friends that are just acquaintances. And those are the ones you need to choose wisely. All the ones I just said. Choose wisely for your sake and for your children's sake. Choose wisely who you end up being friends with. And I've just said this to you many, many times. In consistency lies the power. Be consistent in your relationships. Be consistent in your walk. Be consistent in everything we've just talked about. Be consistent in your kingdom living. You don't have to fall off. If you make a mistake, run to God, not from God. I was watching The Chosen. Y'all watched it?
Yeah.
We've been binge watching. So good. Jesus is so awesome. And it's so real. Cause you know those guys. I mean, they were stinkers. They were just, you know. But you remember when Mary Magdalene, she gets all freaked out cause the demon guy comes and accuses her. He comes, you're bad. Blah. Remember? And then so she freaks out and she ends up going back to her old place. And they go and get her. And when she comes back, Jesus is like, welcome back. Yeah, but I don't deserve to be back. Welcome back.
Amen.
Just keep going. Just keep, if you fall down, just get up and go again. Just get up and go again. Jesus is not tearing you up over that. Some of the church will. Jesus is not this church.
That's right.
But, you know, you'll make some mistakes along the way. But as Oral Roberts used to say, he said, well, I didn't get up this morning planning to make mistakes. But sometimes you do make wrong choices. But you can change that. You can come back. She came back and started over again and had she was the person Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you can keep going. Live on purpose. Keep your focus. Here's five things you can do in your everyday walk for success. Pray every day. Pray every day. You get up right before your feet hit the ground and just say something. Lord, thank you. I bless you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all are quiet this morning. You could pray every day and then go a little while longer and then pray a little more. Pray in the shower. Say something to the Lord and then go a little while longer and you could pray again. Just pray every day and spend some time in God's word every day. Look at his word. Amen. Look at something. Read something. Amen. And then read something else every day. Read something else. Read some of your how-to books. Just understand that you're not doing self-helps, but you're getting pointers. I usually read God books. I don't really have a whole lot of time for fiction or anything like that, but I'll read a book, you know, somebody's book that they wrote, Bill Winston books, you know, Creflo books, whoever, Brother Copeland's. I've read all Brother Copeland's books, so, but whoever. Amen. Read something every day. People that are successful read something. Mm-hmm. Now listen, if you're not a reader, there's audio books.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And you can say, I just read. You know, some of the greatest times I ever had in my life, I would be painting. Deb and I had a painting business. And, we had a doctor we worked for, and he always wanted something painted or cleaned or something. And so we'd put on those. They were, now kids, these were things called cassette tapes. And you could flip them over and hear them over and over, and or they'd go backwards and play over again. We played cassette tapes till we wore those things. We had one of those big old boom boxes, and we'd take it with us everywhere we went. And we'd play those tapes when we were cleaning or working or painting or y'all know we had a business called Jelly Beans where we taught kids. We couldn't do it during the classes, but we had a dance studio. And so Deb was a dance minor, and she wanted to run a studio, so I had to be the office person. Okay, so I'll tell y'all, I was the office person. I counted the money and ran the business part, and Deb did the teaching. Deb and Karen, a friend of ours in San Marcos, Texas. And but on Tuesday night, I taught country dance. So, it was fun, but why did I tell you all that? What am I talking about? Okay. But you can listen to things when we weren't dancing. We were listening to things and improving all the time. And I mean, we would listen. I know, that's why I know every story. You understand? I know every story that Brother Copeland ever told. Every story. And I love them to this day. But they helped me grow. And just listening and listening. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the anointed word preached. And so we just did that all the time. And it helped us really grow up fast. I always tell people, if you want to grow up fast, listen to Brother Copeland. People will tell me, well, you know, I'd rather listen to so-and-so. Well, I just told you, just gave you a big hint. If you want to grow up fast, you ought to listen to Brother Copeland. Yes, but I just told you, if you want to grow up fast, I'm trying to give you a hint. Sometimes people don't pick up what their pastor's trying to tell them. But, you know, if you want to grow up fast, listen to Brother Copeland. Go get some of those old tapes that he had. So, but listen to good preaching. So pray every day, spend time in God's word, read something every day, listen to good preaching or teaching every day, and exercise every day. So, okay, I've got 4 out of 5. Anyway, moving right along. Exercise every day. Go for a walk. That's when you could pray. Do something. Move. Don't just be a couch potato. Move something. You run out of things to do? I've got lots of things you could do. I'm kidding. But I tell you, we all have a lot of things to do. You can move your body. You can do something. Amen. I have been guilty of starting on the treadmill many times. I am going to conquer that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we need that. But if you do those things, you will be successful. It's kind of hard to be successful just from doing nothing.
Right.
You got to do something. You have to move. You have to be motivated. Use, let the Lord use your mind to think of. Danny was talking about all the witty inventions, the concepts, the ideas that could come to you if you're just doing these 5 things.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord will certainly talk to you. Amen. So, that's how you're going to have good success. If you're going to have success, you really do need to come to church. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. But for those of you out there, come to church. Go to church. It's really a good thing to do. So, as Danny was speaking earlier, being a part of the body. Go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. Find the church that suits you. Find the place that suits you. Go where you're celebrated. And you're certainly celebrated here. Amen. Get involved. Make friends.
Well, you know, I felt bad and I didn't know who to call. Well, become friendly.
And then people will give you their phone number. Amen. And then you'll be in. It takes minutes for me to know if someone went to the hospital. That's how connected we are here. You don't have to have my phone number. Many of you do, but you don't have to have that. If you're connected with someone else here, I will within minutes know so-and-so's on. I knew immediately when Gladys was on her way. I knew immediately. I knew immediately when Virginia was going out. I knew immediately who was going and what, and then in a few minutes I knew what for. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, and we're praying. Okay. And then from there we see what we need to do with that, but be connected to the people here. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you won't be left out of anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. That's the pastoring part.
Amen.
All right. I want to say something really strong to you today, but I want you to take it in balance. Obviously, you don't have this problem, but if I want to say it anyway. If you have a job that takes you away from church, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, quit.
Yep.
Or ask them to change your hours.
Yep.
Now, when I say that, I don't mean quit and do nothing. Get something else lined up. But don't cheat yourself out of the word.
Right.
And that's what I've seen so many times. These people get these, they come to church, they're doing well, they get these wonderful jobs, and then they say, well, I can't come because I got this job. Or now I'm going to have to move away because I got this wonderful job. Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. But it's something you really need to pray about before you make that decision. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? You're going, God, that's pretty steep to say you would quit. I would say that because see, now get this, you're going to have to be big to get this. Your number one job is the word.
Yeah. Amen.
That's your number one job. Well, I got to go to work. That's your assignment. But your number one job in life is to get word so you do that assignment well.
Amen.
You want to do your assignment. We want to take the seven mountains. Amen.
Yes.
It's not about just being in these four walls, but
right.
This gets you ready for the seven mountains.
Yes.
You want to go out there and do whatever it is, whatever part, whatever one or many of those mountains that you're involved in, you're going to do it well if you put word first and the people, the body of Christ first. Amen. Not neglecting everything else, but it's big. All right. Faith is energy, and you have to eat if you're going to have any. So you have to do that. Now, because, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing, hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come any other way. People say, well, I'll just pray for faith. You can't get it that way. Faith comes from hearing the word.
That's right.
Comes from receiving the promises. You have to receive the promises. You have to receive them in your heart, not in your head. And when you hear anointed word, that promise will drop down in your heart. And you'll go, you know what? I'm healed.
Yeah.
You know what? God does want me to prosper. You know what? God wants my family to do well. You know what? God wants me to live in peace. You know, God wants me to forgive. You know, God wants, and you could, the list goes on and on and on. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So these are the things that we can't let slip. Get understanding. Knowing the truth makes you free. Commitment. Fruits of the Spirit will help you with commitment. Amen. Stay on the life side. Watch your relationships. Hang around with someone bigger than you. Pray every day. Spend time in God's word every day. Read something every day. Listen to good preaching or teaching every day. This doesn't have to take up all your time. All of these things that I said just kind of fall into place as you go. I mean, you on your way to work. I would say to you, if you have to make a choice, listen to the preaching before the worship. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And then worship God. I would say get word first.
Yeah.
And then worship. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Exercise every day. And then just before we go, I want to hit the big one that I told you I was going to hit. And that is your mind. This is the big one. Your perception. This is the big one. Your mind is the garden where you grow fruit for the future. You pull weeds, you kill snakes. You kill snakes. You kill snakes, you plant the flowers. It's your greatest investment on earth. Your mind is your greatest investment. Because your spirit's growing. But you have to do, listen, your spirit is brand new, shiny, looking good. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
But you have a soul and a body that you have to deal with still. And if you don't do what the Apostle Paul said, what did he say? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at Romans 12. We'll just look at it really quick here. We're way early on the clock. We're quiet today. Y'all made all the noise while you were praising and worshiping. Okay, so I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, conformed is what religion wants. They want you to come to church, pay your penance, behave, do right, try not to get kicked out. That's religion.
Yeah.
But you're to be transformed. In other words, you can literally renew your thinking to the place. You can just dig out that old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the greatest things is that you think you're not good enough.
So
you do. And you think, well, I don't. Well, you might. You might be surprised how that rises up. And then you think, well, yeah, they probably wouldn't pick me because you think you're not good enough. Well, they don't want to listen to me because you think you're not good enough. Well, I don't know if I deserve to be that prosperous. That's because you think you're not good enough. Well, you know, I don't know if people are really going to accept me. That's because you don't think you're good enough. But that's interesting because God the Father sent his only begotten Son for you. Because he loves you that much. He loves you that much. So we have to cast down those imaginations and just get right in the middle. Particularly if you didn't have a good daddy, you have a good father. If you didn't have a good daddy or you didn't have a daddy or whatever, particularly if you didn't, you're going to have to shift gears and get your mind off that person and onto the person of God. Because God is not absentee. He's not abusive. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's a good, good father. Amen. He's really, 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 really good. He's really good. He's really good. And you have to get your mind on that and you have to cast down imaginations to do that. We can't really let that slip. It's more important than people. Hear me. Hear me. Renewing your mind needs to be for, well, so-and-so's calling me. I better get over there. Oh, they need me to do this. No, renewing your mind is more important. You're getting word. Your heart is, your faith is building. You got to renew your mind daily because we leak. Like I said, you forget who you are sometimes. Remember, if you're going to be a doer of the word of God, you have to look into the mirror of the word and say, that's who I am. I am this kid that God loves. I am this prosperous person. I am the one who has favor. I am the one who gets picked. I am the one that God just wants to move forward. You have to start thinking that. You need to see yourself as the good kid. Well, I don't feel like I'm very good. You need to get rid of that feeling. You have to work on renewing your mind. You have to forget the past. If you stay focused on the past, you're not going to go anywhere. If you're just living off your memories and you don't have a dream for the future, you're already headed to the grave. Yeah, I'll say that. A lot of people are still in the old days in the church. Well, we did it like this. In him we live and move. You know, I like pulling up some of the old songs sometimes or whatever. But we're not where we were in the 70s. Some of y'all weren't even born then. But we're not there anymore. Did you hear me? We're not there anymore. The church of the living God is very different now. They're awake. They're changing. The songs are going to change. Well, you know, I know all that. I know everything that's been preached. I know it. That's not what it's about. It's about hearing and hearing it over and over and over and over again. How many times does someone tell you that story that you just loved, your grandma or your grandpa, and you said, tell it again. You want to hear it again. How many times when you were a little kid or your grandchild or your child, when my boy was little, I'd go in there and he was going to go night-night. He was real good about that. And it seems funny to talk about a 45-year-old person like that. But he'd go in there and we'd read Busy, Busy Bulldozer. That's what we'd read. Busy, Busy. What book are you going to pick, Toby? Busy, Busy Bulldozer. Okay. Or Big Brown Bear. We had to read one of those too. Big Brown Bear, Bicycling Backwards. Yeah, and I mean, that's the between me and his dad. We had to read those every night. Why? Because you like those stories. Don't you? Hearing and hearing and hearing. Things you like. God is good. You are blessed. You're wearing the blessing right now. You are already healed. These are things you need to hear over and over. How to become successful. Hear it over and over and over and over. That's what we need to do all the time. We're training. The fundamentals. The fundamental. You can't play baseball good unless you know the fundamentals. The third, the outfielder, the left field's not going to run all the way to first base to catch a ball. You need to know how to play the game. Am I right? You're a baseball player, softball. Amen. You need to know what to do. You know how, need to know how to pick up a grounder. You need to know. You need to, and it gets technical. Well, that pitcher pitches like this. Well, that batter bats like this. You get to know the game. You get to know the swings. You get to know how they do everything. But you do the fundamentals every time. Yeah. Pastor Nancy was a concert pianist, I guess you'd say. She's really good. I've never heard her play myself, but she's really good. And but this is what she said about playing the piano. Even though when I'm out playing something, the fundamentals are in it. I had to do every time I practiced, I had to practice the fundamentals. Every time. So we're not going to get off this, church. You're going to have to cast down imaginations. And imaginations can go to worry, to figuring out, to they did this to me. To da da da, to how am I gonna do it? All those are imaginations. I think that for about the last 7 years, we've stayed more on this than anything else because I think God is trying to tell us something. And I think He's trying to get this group of people into a place where we will totally rely on Him. Where we're not figuring. Where we're not just playing a guessing game, but we're just asking. We're just asking. We're casting down those imaginations. There's something that we were going after in our faith and we got a bad report that someone else got it. Some property. Someone else bought it. And I'll just tell you what I say. It ain't over.
That's right.
Yep. It's not over. I mean, when we were getting this building, the guy walked outside. No, I'm not making a deal with you. Turned around and came back in. Cause we just stood there. Okay. Turned around, came back in and made us a deal we couldn't refuse.
Yep.
And this place is paid for.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for that. My house is paid for. My cars are paid for. My dogs are paid for. Ronnie's cat is paid for. She's cute too. Don't tell anybody I said that. Now, let's finish. If you spend your time thinking about your symptoms, they'll beat you. If you have painful, harassing symptoms, you're going to have to attack those symptoms by putting the word in your heart all day long until you perceive you are healed. I can't tell you, even in our group here, how many times I hear this. I'm going to get my healing. You're always going to be getting your healing until you get in there and just submerge and train and stay on the healing and listen to Brother Hagin and do it until all of a sudden you had this perception. I'm healed.
That's right.
Doing. And when you do, nothing can move you off of it. Nothing will move you off of it. Well, I'm going to. Well, you're always going to be going to. Cast that down and get the right words. Are you prosperous? Right now?
Yes.
I am. Are you healed?
Yes.
Amen. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Are you free?
Yes.
Are you debt free?
Yes.
Are you a part of the kingdom?
Yes.
You are. That's what you need to, drill until you get there. Renew your mind until you're saying, I am prosperous, if that's what you need. Whatever you need, you conquer it as you go. Did you get that? You're going to have to conquer it. Praise the Lord. Stay on it until you get it. People don't get that. Word of Faith people don't get that. They'll just go, they just hang around with Word of Faith people, and then they just are like, well, I'm in a faith church. I'm in faith. Are you? Are you really? I know you're thinking, and that's why you're quiet. But are you? I asked myself that this morning. Now, are you really in faith about that? Because you need to do some work. This particular subject I was looking at. Are you really? So go to talk to the Lord about it. Let me ask you this question. We're going to close here in about 90 seconds. Are you totally convinced? Now, what's the date? February 27th? Okay. So you've got 10 months left in this year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you to the test here. You've got 10 months left, and it can go on over into next year and the year after and the year after. But since Brother Jerry said this was the year, he prophesied it. Are you convinced about unusual?
Yes.
Supernatural?
Yes.
Are you extraordinary? Did you talk about it to yourself yesterday? Did you talk to yourself about it the day before? It's fading. Did it? Did you talk to yourself about it? Did you just say, hey, can I help you just make it your prayer? When you get up in the morning, right now, this year, just get up. When you put your feet on the ground, Lord, I bless you and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord. Lord, I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love my neighbor as myself. And I thank you that today, I will see unusual, supernatural, extraordinary provision. Today. Well, what if I don't see it by 12 o'clock at night? Get up the next day and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, and go after it again. And go after it until you see it. Until you see it. Now, that's not that hard. Will you do it? Just do it. And then you're going to come running in here and say, guess what, guess what, guess what? Guess what happened? Guess what turned loose and came to me? Guess what happened in my thinking? I am clear. And I'm telling you, there's a deliverance going forth right now in people's hearts and people's minds. A friend of ours who was just had this abuse, I think it was abusive father. Yeah, abusive father. And some bad things happened to her. And so it all came out and it was a nasty sore, you know. And she got immediately, it all, she forgave him, and immediately it all washed away. And there's nothing there. And this is what she said. It's almost like I almost miss it, and I don't, but it's almost like it was so much there, and now it's gone. Why don't you just take that and do that? Why don't you just look at that empty bank account, the one that you're trying to get full. I know your others are full, but that one that's not full, and you ought to just say, you know what? It wasn't that long ago that thing was empty, but look at it now. Man, it wasn't that long I was limping, but look at me now. Man, I was hating, but look at me now. Man, I was sick, but look at me now. Man, my family had a big uproar, but look at us now. Man, we were down all the way, but look at us now. How about that? How about that just happening to you? Well, I'll tell you how to do it. Look at it now. Look at it now in here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to look at it now. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So cast down the bad and think on the good. Well, you know, gratefulness goes a long way, church. Gratefulness goes a long way. And I'm going to close with this. It is true, so true, that favor is the key to success. It is so true that favor is the key to success. Let the favor of God lead you to the favor of men. I just pronounce the favor of God over you that are watching, over you that are in the auditorium. I just pronounce and declare and decree the favor of God released afresh on your life today. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. We'll not look to our own scheme. We'll not look to our own understanding, but we will understand you. We will be committed to you. We will stay on the life side and we will live in this favor. And it will bring us unusual, supernatural, extraordinary provision. In Jesus' name, amen.